Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, and we welcome you. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about right now, give us a call, because it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. It's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. That number is 844-322-2742. We encourage you to call right now. Again, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about our freedom in Christ this month, and we've been working this week through the book of Romans, a few passages out of Romans 6, and we're going to get into Romans 7 and Romans 8. But today we're going to concentrate on a passage out of Romans 6, starting in verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God, and here's the real good news, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That's what this good news of Jesus Christ does for each and every one of us. It sets us free from sin so that we could be instruments of righteousness in God's hands. That's a powerful truth that we all need to come to grips with, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, Bob, you know, you just think about the slave that we were. We were all slaves of sin. We would say, how much slavery was there? Well, I mean, we were addicted to sin. We loved sin. We were about sin. We had a sinful heart. Everything about us just oozed sin. Now, it might have been healthy, well-adjusted looking sin. It might have been a good-looking sin or bad-looking sin, but it was all sin. Without Jesus Christ, it was not an expression of Him. Now, we get saved. We hear the gospel message. We respond to it. Christ comes to dwell in our hearts. And lo and behold, we find the polar opposite now. Think about it. How real was your slavery to sin? Well, then now, how real is your slavery to righteousness? And this is what Paul is saying. You can't get away from righteousness. You're addicted to righteousness. Nothing will fulfill you but righteousness. And so when a Christian realizes that, we stop saying all the stuff we used to say. We stop saying that we have a dirty heart, a wicked heart, a sinful heart. We say, no, I'm a slave of righteousness. And we stop saying, well, I'm scared of grace because I'm afraid I'll just go out and do whatever I want. We start saying something different. We say, wait a minute, I'm not afraid of what I want. I'm a slave of righteousness. I'm going to get in tune with my new want-tos, with my new desires. So grace makes a whole lot more sense when you're a slave of righteousness. You can't put an unbeliever under grace. Then they'll just have a heyday and set world records for sin. But you put me under grace, you put a slave of righteousness under grace. Now that makes a whole lot more sense, because in that atmosphere of freedom, Bob, we discover what we really want. We discover that at the core of our being, God has done a transformation there that changes our passions and our desires. It changes what will truly fulfill us at the center of our being. And we recognize that this is real. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm a slave of righteousness. And that is the identity message. And we need to know it.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, when you were talking, just the idea, the thought of grace and righteousness being compatible. The two go hand in glove, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't have grace and then, you know, hope that righteousness is going to come out of that. No, righteousness is the result of God's grace in our lives. We become slaves to that. So the two are compatible. And as you said, we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid of this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. So folks, you've been set free. You have been set free from sin and you have become a slave to righteousness. How did that happen? By the powerful working of God's grace in your life. And now just go out and be free.
Mm-hmm.
Be free to trust the Lord and allow Him to work His righteousness in and through you.
That's what liberty in Jesus Christ is all about.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. We have open lines. If you're hearing the broadcast at about 5 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can be a part of it right now if you call quickly again. 844-322-2742. And friends, we have a wonderful teaching series for our July donors. It's called Living Life on the Edge by Bob Christopher. And we're going to send you a copy as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Bob, the title, it's kind of intriguing itself. Life, Living Life on the Edge. Why Life on the Edge?
Well, you know, we're looking for some excitement. We're looking for exhilaration. We're looking for adventure. And we certainly admire people who, you know, push the limits of human potential, you know, through daredevil sports and all of that sort of stuff. And a lot of times we, you know, we realize we can't experience that, you know, in our own ordinary lives.
Right.
And so we look for other ways to find exhilaration. And for many Christians, we become discontent with what we have in Christ. And so our minds get turned back to the things of this world. And we live life on the edge there instead of truly embracing this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. So how do we get back to the center? That's what this series is all about. It's very practical. It takes a look at what really happens to us when we become new in Christ. Why do we think some of the same old thoughts we still think? Why do we make some of the same old dumb choices we still make?
Yeah.
And how does the grace of God impact us and transform us and change? So that's what this series is all about. I highly recommend it. It comes with a little booklet as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to put this resource in your hands. If you want to be able to learn how to say no to worldly passions and to ungodliness, and yes to a righteous, godly lifestyle in this present generation, as Paul wrote to Titus, then this is the series for you.
Yeah.
It will really help you understand how you get caught up in those worldly temptations, how those become desirable to you, and it'll enable you and equip you by the grace of God to say no and to keep your eyes firmly on Jesus Christ.
Living Life on the Edge, and your copy, of course, will be coming to you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. You can donate. You can donate by visiting basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Aledo, Texas, and talk to Kevin, who's listening to us on the Word today. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Well, thank you all. I'm loving your show, and I value your opinion. I am, again, a late in life, born-again believer. I am firmly founded in the Word of God, and I'm getting ready to teach Genesis to my Sunday school class, and I am wrestling with the six-day event, calendar days. You know, how do you handle the 6 days of creation? Is it calendar? Does it matter whether it's calendar days? Just kind of looking for your opinion on this.
Well, great question, Kevin.
Andrew,
you took a breath, so have at it.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a controversial one in today's world of believers. I mean, so many believers, I guess we're split down the middle. I have a lot of friends and family members that I respect that believe differently than me. I would say the big takeaway is that God did it, and it wasn't accidental, and it, you know, you've got six eons, you've got, or six yams, that is, you've got six time periods or 6 days. And for me, what I look at, Kevin, is I say, well, the evening and the morning was the first day, the evening and the morning was the second day. And my takeaway personally from that is that, you know, we've got a definition of day there. And that if that definition holds for all six time periods, then you've got a six-day creation. Now, somebody else comes along and says, well, yom can mean time period. And therefore, you know, where was the 24-hour day when there was no sun created yet, when there was no rotation and revolution of the earth yet? And so, you know, people have made these arguments, and they're trying to marry what science is telling them currently and then what the the Bible is saying. And at the end of the day, I would say the most important battle we want to fight is to stand up for the simple fact that we're not here by accident, that it's not a mistake, that there wasn't some sort of non-living cell that magically morphed into a living cell in a cesspool somewhere. I mean, you've got origin problems. Without the creation account in Genesis, you've got a serious origin problem. You know, where did the first living cell come from? Well, some will say it came from a non-living cell. Okay, fine. Where did the first non-living cell come from? And you can play this where did it come from game until you get back to the smallest piece of matter possible. And then science will tell you that matter cannot come from nowhere. It's got to come from somewhere. So, you know, that's why we believe in God who created this world, spoke it into existence. And I would imagine in a Bible study, if it's of any size, you're going to have people believing that Yom means a time period, other people believing that Yom means a 24-hour day. And you may not win over people to your side, but again, I think the most important thing here, Bob and guys, you know, is just to stress that this creation has an author, and that means that we have a purpose and meaning, and relationship with him is possible, and we should never let anyone try to take away that reality from us or erode the truth of that. Bob?
Kevin, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah. Let me make this more personal then, because sometimes I feel I've been a Christian for 10 years. I became a Christian at age 50.
Yeah.
I was very, very scientific before I became a Christian.
Yeah.
And I guess more on a personal question, I feel like when I try to fit eons instead of days, am I trying to convince myself that the Word of God is the Word of God, or am I trying to fit my old beliefs into my new Christian beliefs? Because quite frankly, when you said I won't convert anybody over to my opinion, I'm not sure what my opinion on this is yet. So maybe that's a more personal way.
Well, and Kevin, what I would say to you in that regard is don't be afraid to share that in the Sunday school class.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to say, hey, I'm wrestling with this, and I came from a scientific background, and so I'm experiencing some conflicts in my own mind trying to figure this out. And I want the Word of God just to be the Word of God. I want it to say what the Word of God says. And so for now, we're just going to take it for face value. When it says there was morning and there was evening, we're going to take that as a day and just go on with it. But the two big takeaways from this whole creation story is that it begins with God, right? And so it's
absolutely.
So it establishes a truth that God, as far as you and I are concerned, God always initiates, we always respond. God's the initiator. He took the initiative and he created. The second aspect of it is that man is the pinnacle of God's creation. And on that seventh day when God rested, that God and man enjoyed a relationship together from a place of rest. And that's kind of the story that God wants us to really see out of this first chapter of Genesis, that God initiated, we were the pinnacle of his creation, and he created us for relationship, and that relationship begins from a place of rest. Now, when sin entered in, that rest turned to restlessness, and it is only restored to us when we have faith in the finished work of Christ, and we can enter in back into that rest that God established from the very beginning. So I would just let from, you know, are these literal days, I would just let the story stand at face value, and then I would point, it's a kids group, is that correct?
No, it's adults.
Okay, adults. Then I would point them to the fact that God initiates, we're the pinnacle of creation, and God created us for relationship. And that's what we get out of this first chapter.
That's all right. I guess you're right. Instead of running from my fear, I should share my fear. One last thing, and then I'll get out of your hair. Is there a particular commentary that you might point me to if you were going to teach Genesis?
I think you just heard it.
Are you available to be a guest speaker?
Any time, Kevin. I live in the Dallas area. Would love to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for your call, and great question. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we had this call that came in overnight, and it regards receiving an invitation from a non-believer. Let's listen to this call from Dolly.
Yes, I would like to ask a question, please. I would like to know if you get an invitation to someone about a baby shower, is it okay to go or to give a gift?
Okay.
She's specifically asking about an invitation from an unbeliever. Is it okay?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, we want to affirm people, and we want to be involved in the lives of friends and relatives, and not everybody knows Jesus. And you just think about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, where Paul says, I was not at all meaning to avoid the people of this world, otherwise you would have to go out of the world. I mean, how in the world are you going to get away from the world? Right now we're in it. And so, you know, as long as we are living here on this planet, apart from our resurrection bodies, as long as we are not seeing God face to face yet, you know, we're designed to be light and be salt. That's who we are now as children of God. And so I think that we find our hearts crying out to be affectionate and be kind and be hospitable and be generous. And so, you know, we're free. We don't have to go to everybody's birthday party and everybody's baby shower and everybody's anniversary party, but we just follow our heart in that and trust the Lord in that. And, you know, we're always thinking that ministry happens in church buildings or at religious events. We need to remember that the fruit of the Spirit is compatible with every step we take in our lives, you know, social settings, coffee shops, being hospitable, opening our home, bringing a gift over to someone's doorstep. I mean, all of that, it can be an expression of Jesus, guys, and that's awesome to think about.
Absolutely. Well, Dolly, we hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Well, again, friends, it's Basic Gospel, and September 6th and 7th are the dates of our Simply Grace Conference, and if you're beaten and battered in a never-ending struggle to prove yourself to God and to man as a Christian, well, how's that working for you? Well, my guess is probably not too well. There is a right way, however, and we want to share it with you. So we invite you to join Bob Christopher and Basic Gospel for the Simply Grace Conference, a new covenant seminar designed to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ and not in your own efforts. You'll find all the information online at basicgospel.net/events. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events for information on the September Simply Grace Conference, and we hope you are going to be there. Well, guys, we had to question Donna, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's go to Kay's question.
Want to go to Kay's question? Okay. Yes. She says, is the Holy Bible accurate? Why so many translations? Could dark forces have rewritten parts or all of the Bible? Just trying to find the truth. As you said, that's from Kay.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And that's a very good question, and certainly one that's out there in the hearts of a lot of people. The skeptics are pointing to the Word of God and saying, how can that be the Word of God? How can it be accurate? How can it be authoritative in our lives? And we need to have some answers about how the Bible came to be and why we can trust it in our day-to-day lives. So is the Bible accurate? Does it tell a consistent story about Jesus Christ and how we can experience salvation through faith in Him? And the answer is a resounding yes, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the Word of God, and it is so because it was inspired by God's Holy Spirit. We don't, you know, that doesn't mean that there aren't personalities involved. My goodness, you look at the writings of Paul, and then you flip over to Peter or James or John, you're going to get different flavors and different personalities expressed. Paul is often defending himself and defending his own ministry and, you know, making things clear about why he went to the Gentiles instead of the Jews. So you're going to get real persons in the midst of the Bible, Old Testament and New, but it's all inspired by God's Spirit who was living in the authors of the Bible. And then you say, well, you know, to answer the second part of your question, why are there so many translations? I mean, there's New American Standard and New International Version and ESV and KJV and so many different letters out there, the acronyms that stand for all these English language versions, and that's what they are. They're translations, and that's why there's so many of them. Now, you know, working in linguistics for a while there, I'm familiar with the challenge of when you're translating something. Somebody wants to translate things at the word level. Well, then you end up with a very choppy translation. Somebody else says, well, that's accurate, but I want to go with the phrase level. And so they try to translate it differently. Then you get to a word in Greek or Hebrew that, you know, it's difficult to translate because we don't have an English equivalent. So what do we take away from all of that? There are many English translations that we might read here in the United States and Canada and around the world, but we're saying that the original manuscripts, the way that the apostles wrote the New Testament, for example, that is where we find the 100% accurate Word of God. And, you know, Bob, people argue about a word here or a word there or a sentence, and was it in the original manuscripts or not, and did a scribe mess something up, did a scribe, you know, fail to do something correctly and all that. Well, we've got so many early manuscripts of the Bible, yeah, and it's so reliable. And then what's the big picture message? Well, the gospel remains so clear. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is not debatable. That is the central message of the Bible anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, well, guys, I want to get to this question. Donna is a Facebook viewer, and she needs help with her son. She wants to know how to pray for her son who is addicted to heroin.
Yeah, and there's some of the backstory of that. He's 25. He was in jail for a short period of time and is out and was doing okay, and now that addiction has gotten a hold of him again.
Yeah.
And so how can we respond to her? How can we help her and pray for her?
Well, I mean, you know, I think we can pray for her even today as this program concludes. I'll certainly be in prayer. And, you know, that's a physical addiction sometimes. People get wired and they have to say no to something when the pattern has developed, when a highway in the mind has developed. And, you know, we need to pray that there's a knowledge of Jesus in this and the comfort of the Holy Spirit in this.
Yeah.
And that she will know the truth that sets her free. That's what this is about.
Yes, indeed. Well, Don, I hope you're listening, and I hope that's a help to you as well. Friends, don't you agree that what you hear each day on Basic Gospel is good news? But if you agree, please remember that Basic Gospel is dependent upon God working through you, His people, to keep this good news on the air and online every day. So click donate at basicgospel.net and make your most generous gift if you can today. And we'll send you a copy of this excellent series that Bob was talking about earlier in the broadcast. It's called Living Life on the Edge. And it's our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Also, we hope you'll begin making your plans even now to attend the Simply Grace Conference in September. Bob Christopher will be teaching, and all the information, dates, times, location, and registration is available online at basicgospel.net/events. Again, that site, again, basicgospel.net/events. You know, we love serving you, our listeners, and one of the important ways we do that is what you've heard today, by directly answering your questions. So if you have a question before our next broadcast, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. If you post your question today or tonight, well, We'll probably answer it on tomorrow's broadcast, so get that into us. 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.